Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Last week on Hope for Today, we were studying from Daniel chapter 5. The title of our study was Weighed and Wanting. Chapter 5 records the account of King Belshazzar and the mysterious handwriting on the wall. The last phrase of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 37 says, "Those who walk in pride, he," that's God, "is able to put down." Belshazzar ignored the lessons of his predecessor, and he paid an awful price. In our previous study, I said there were several scenes that illustrate the eventual verdict, weighed and wanting. The first scene we looked at was audacious arrogance. One of the meanings of audacious is contemptuous of law, religion, or decorum, and that fits the opening scene so well. The second scene that we looked at was abject terror. Now, we didn't get to finish looking at that scene during our last time together, so we'll return to it in a moment. But before we do that, let me read the text, Daniel chapter 5, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been at Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is of the captives of Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you, that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Try to imagine this scene with me. The raucous party is in full swing. The wine is flowing, the music is blaring, they're singing and they're shouting praises to the gods. And all of a sudden, the king sucks in his breath.
What is that?
A disembodied hand appears on the wall opposite the lampstand, and it's writing on the plaster. Albert Barnes suggests that it may have been the very lampstand taken from the temple in Jerusalem, and the nearness of the writing to it intimates that the rebuke was directed at Belshazzar for his sacrilege. When the king sees the hand and the mysterious writing, today we would say he came unglued. His face pales. His thoughts become a jumble of confused fragments. His loins were loosed and his knees knocked together. The phrase, the joints of his loins or his hips were loosed, may refer to the inability to control one's bowels. In other words, fear went through his body like an electric current from the top to the bottom. The fright he experienced seems to have sobered him immediately. So he cries out in terror for his wise men to come and read the writing and tell him its meaning. And he promises the one who interprets promotion to the rank of third ruler of the kingdom. He promises special tokens of honor to the one who is able to interpret. Both of these are worthless rewards, as the kingdom is finished. But you know, not one of those supposed wise men could even read, let alone interpret, the writing. And that only increased Belshazzar's fear. In fact, the effect was so dramatic that even his court officials were dumbfounded. Drunken arrogance had changed to abject terror. Now he's really in a quandary. The helplessness of the king and his officials stands in stark contrast to the brash confidence they expressed in those opening verses. The second scene in this text that illustrates the verdict of weighed and wanting is authoritative counsel. The queen hears the shouts, the cries, and the confused babble of voices from the banquet hall, and she appears on the scene. It's difficult to determine exactly who she is, but she definitely speaks with authority. She's not one of Belshazzar's wives, because his wives and concubines were already stated to be present at the party. She's most likely the wife of Nabonidus and the mother of Belshazzar. In that position, she would have been one of the few people who could enter the king's presence without being called and live to talk about it. Her first words to the king seem to be along the lines of, "Pull yourself together." She informed the king that his panic wasn't necessary because there was someone in the kingdom available to help. His name was Daniel, and in him was the spirit of the holy gods, or as we know, the holy God. Here are her words from the text. "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation." I think there's a bit of a sarcastic bite to the queen's words. She implies that if you were worthy to sit in your father's throne, you would know who this man is. Wendy Witter says, "The queen's glowing recommendation of Daniel culminates in the delicious wordplay that Daniel was able to loosen knots for the king whose knots had been loosened. What the queen meant was that Daniel could solve difficult problems, but her word choice seems like a jab at the king in his confusion. And then she ends her counsel by reminding the king that Nebuchadnezzar had renamed Daniel as Belteshazzar, a name that was only one syllable different from his own. His name was remarkably similar to that of the king, but his character was so much different. Here was information to act upon, even if it was as a last resort. Belshazzar was unlikely to appreciate the elderly Daniel, and hence the testimonial of the queen, framed in that formalized language of chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. So Daniel is called for, and he's brought in before the king. But notice that the narrator doesn't credit Belshazzar for calling him or for his arrival. Again, imagine the contrast here between the calm, godly bearing of the aged Daniel and the trembling, distraught monarch. It seems that Belshazzar tries to reestablish some sense of control over the situation by speaking to Daniel in a condescending way. His words can easily be read with a sense of sarcasm, although we can't say that for certain. His words do suggest that he was familiar with Daniel. In fact, Daniel may have been demoted by Belshazzar because he was a Jew and because he had faithfully served Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 14, Belshazzar repeats what the queen said, but at no time does he acknowledge or affirm that Daniel can do the things that are listed. He only said, "I've heard about you." Belshazzar is like many people in the world today. They will only listen to God's wisdom when everything else that they have tried has failed. But by then, it's often too late. And that leads us to the final scene, which is assured judgment. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Weighed and Wanting. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Weighed and Wanting. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Weighed and Wanting. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and receive a blessing too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Weighed and Wanting. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.